This is Ozarks at Large. The Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra is presenting three events with renowned pianist and proud transgender woman Sarah Davis Buechner during a week-long July residency in Northwest Arkansas. Beginning July 16th, Buechner will appear at Walton Arts Center, The Momentary, and Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. Last week, Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda spoke via Zoom with Sarah, who was in Pennsylvania, and APO Music Director Stephen Bias, who was in Washington. To begin the conversation, Stephen discussed how the orchestra has prepared for a return to live performances.
This past year has been surreal for all of us, really, all of my colleagues in the United States, South America, Europe, Asia, have all wrestled with the same issues, and we've commiserated at every step because of the challenges of changing restrictions in different locales. But the bottom line is we have been restricted to either not performing at all or very limited. And the APO presented a program last October. We recorded it to be presented virtually with the Northwest Arkansas Ballet Theater, and a delightful program, but it was so strict and so challenging to do that. Everything else that's taken place for the APO, and in fact for most orchestras, has been small, as in chamber music, maybe a soloist with a pianist or piano recital, something like that, but it's been reduced greatly. So we are coming out of our skins with excitement about meeting in person to rehearse and perform, especially with a world-class artist like Sarah Buechner.
So a year at home gives you plenty of time to think about lots of things. So what are some of the factors that you considered when you were crafting and planning, you know, how you wanted to make this return to a more normal live performance with an audience?
Well, one of the great aspects, if I can call it a great aspect, of being quarantined was to have time that we usually don't have to think about the operation and the artistic presentations, the mission of what we do artistically and culturally, socially. And one of the great aspects of, I think, arts organizations' presentation is to embrace diversity, equity, and inclusion in an unprecedented way. There are many organizations that have done it all along. Many organizations make token efforts to move in that direction. But over the past year, the APO has thought very deeply about how we reflect what our mission, our stated mission is, and that is to reach the people in the community where they are. We have such a diverse community in Northwest Arkansas. It's really dynamic. When I try to describe the differences between Bentonville, Rogers, Springdale, and Fayetteville, they are four dramatically distinct communities, all with different needs and all different communities. So how can we possibly present a program that will possibly blanket the interests of all those people? Well, one of the things is to make the programs more personal, to have people meet the orchestra, have the orchestra meet and mingle with our patrons. And Sarah immediately came to mind. We worked together a few times in different places around the country, but she's one of the most dynamic, spectacular soloists, but also one of the most personable. That said, there are a few soloists who are dynamic and very talented and personable, but are not always articulate or charismatic. Well, Sarah is all those things packaged into one. And I'm talking about her while she's on this Zoom call. So I hope that I'm not embarrassing you, but it really is one of those rare opportunities where we have a chance in rebranding what the APO does to make a first impression. And you can only make a first impression one time. And I can't think of a better way than to create a program that where we're returning in person, but also to partner and collaborate with a soloist who is going to raise the level of what we do in every possible way. And that's Sarah Buechner. So we built a program after we invited Sarah to come, and she said, yes, I'd love to come. We built a program around what we thought would be appropriate with our reduced forces. You know, it's a complex recipe to come up with a program in the first place. But then thinking about the smaller orchestra that we're using, trying to be cautious and prudent in starting again in performing live for the first time after 18 months, this was what we came up with. And Sarah had some brilliant ideas. And Mozart, of course, I think that's one of the boldest things that I'll say. And it's easy to say anybody is a good or a great Mozart performer, but Sarah's the best. The very first time we worked together, I think, was with a Mozart concerto, and it was just divine. So I've been wanting to return to that. So we built a program starting with a Mozart concerto, and she had a suggestion of a rare, exceedingly rare work by Joaquin Turina that we'll perform. And I'd say the people in Arkansas are going to have an opportunity that probably 97, 98% of the people in the United States will never have, because it's just that kind of rarity. But it's just one of the things that's de rigueur for Sarah Buebner. She just has this trunk full of gems that nobody else plays. So around that, I built a program I think is really interesting and nice, but it really is all centered and anchored with our wonderful soloist.
Are you blushing yet, Sarah?
I'm blushing all day. This man, you know, oh my God, he's made my job impossible. I'm going to be, you know, Superwoman and Wonder Woman and I don't know, an Aquaman all rolled into one or something like that. But I return all those compliments to Stephen, because he's equally articulate and brilliant on the podium, darn good looking too. And I just love working with Stephen. We've played in Mississippi and Portland, and I think that maybe another place as well. But everything that he said was true. You know, when we started to talk about that program, you know, I mentioned Mozart, because you can do Mozart concertos with a reduced orchestra. But then I suggested that piece by Turina, because it's for piano and strings. And so appropriate, I think the overall theme of all this is indeed kind of diversity and beauty and diversity. And I had the really, I have to call it a divine honor to have met the daughter of the composer Joaquin Turina in Madrid when I was playing concerts there. And I had recorded some of Turina's solo music. And she invited me to their beautiful house where Turina had lived till he passed away in 1949, and took me to the roof of their building where there was this stunning array of flowers, the most spectacular array of colors. And she explained to me that she had kept that garden exactly the same after her father had died, because he loved to sit there with his cigar and his red wine and smoke. And I've always come to think of Turina's music as Spanish and colorful, and just every color of the rainbow. And it's all in it. It's very, very beautiful, lush, romantic music, which I love dearly. So I was so happy that Stephen wanted to do that piece. And then he's put some other, you know, really wonderful things together. It's a very rare, he's right, it's a very rare program. You're not going to hear that from many orchestras around the United States. And I think it's also appropriate also, I mean, if we look back in the last year and a half, I mean, two major events have really throttled our attention here in the United States, one being that little bit of illness, and then the other being these, you know, this kind of sudden reawakening and awareness of disparities in our country, and the fact that many people have challenges ahead of them that other people just don't have. And we witnessed this from the window of our apartment here right in Philadelphia. It's, you know, it was like a real human outcry from the gut, you know, what responded to this verdict, you know, when it came out. So I think in regard to that, you know, I'm really, really touched that Stephen asked me as a transgender woman to come and not only to play the piano, but also to speak a bit about my life in the arts. As someone who is, you know, I would say that I've faced hardships and challenges that perhaps other people have not. But I think more to the point is perhaps I have the ability then to speak of those things in a way that connects with anybody. Every human being has their challenges, their hardships, their walls to climb over and so forth. And I think we in the arts particularly feel this coming out of the pandemic, a certain maybe commitment to betterment of our social situation, because we can speak from the stage, whether it's in words, whether it's in music, whether it's through dance, through art, literature, painting, et cetera, how we respond to all of these things, how we create and how we try to connect with other people is a large part of what we do. You know, we don't just sit on the stage and play music because it's fun to do. Of course, it's fun to do, but it has this deeper connection that's really at the heart of everything that we strive to achieve.
The transgender community throughout the country has had a rough couple of months considering the number of bills that have been passed, not just in Arkansas, but in other states as well, specifically targeting this group of people. So when you're having this concert, this motivational concert, this motivational conversation, how do you approach that? How do you offer motivation or hope, especially during a time when everything might seem very bleak?
Well, I think I'm lucky in the sense that when I walk onto a stage and I do what I do, I certainly have been told by other transgender people who come to hear me play, or GLBTQ, I mean, not just trans people, but they say to me, gee, I'm so glad you're out there doing what you do, because we look at you as a kind of, you know, kind of a role model. And if you can do it, okay, we can persevere and so forth. And that's something I'm very, very happy has developed and changed. You know, we can look at all the hardships and we can look at negative press and problems, sure. But trans people have come an awfully long way in terms of acceptance, understanding, and a lot more people know trans people now than they really used to. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, this word didn't exist. I had no information about, you know, I was sent to Freudian psychotherapists to straighten me out, you know. I mean, thank God we're a long, long way from this kind of thing. So, you know, you can't let yourself get depressed or overly angry at people who, I think they're not thinking very much when they mindlessly seize on something as, well, maybe I'll get some votes if I attach myself to this kind of cause. You know, I have the feeling that when they get to know real trans people, then suddenly, you know, you meet people, you don't really feel like discriminating against them. Then that sort of, you know, so this is the best thing that I can do. The best thing that any trans person can do is just be visible. I mean, you know, come out wherever you are and show that we're a part of the human community. We are who we are, and we're here to not to demand extra civil rights or anything, but just to have a life like you and Aunt Sadie from Jersey City and anybody. And I stole that from a movie, by the way, that's Humphrey Bogart says that. Long story. I love that. Aunt Sadie from Jersey City. All I want is what Aunt Sadie from Jersey City has, you know. Clams, day at the beach, et cetera, you know.
Absolutely. Since it is a residency and there are multiple components to this, you know, what do you hope that the public as a whole can take away from participating in one or all three events?
We start Sarah's residency with her musical performance. Really, it cannot be overstated what a caliber of soloist Sarah is. And when I've been fond of saying for decades that I don't have to sell music. I let music speak for itself. And when people come to see a performance and Sarah Buechner is performing, her artistry speaks for itself. It's immediate, it's touching. So just getting people to come and hear and experience this amazing and extraordinary musicality and artistry is number one. That's where we start. But because of the climate and because of the world conditions and in the state of Arkansas and other places, it's timely that Sarah come as a transgender role model and plant seeds in the community. Just as she said, it's difficult to discriminate against someone when you're in front of them and you realize there is nothing but a pure person of goodness. And now I'm speaking beyond the musical and artistic ideals. It's we want to reach our community where they are. And I know there's a large segment of our community. And in fact, all throughout the United States, I travel constantly and I see this everywhere I go, without exception, everywhere I go. There's always a portion of the community who needs something to which they can connect, to someone to whom they can connect. And by planting seeds, making Sarah available to tell her story, but also to let people know it is going to be okay. The possibilities are great. And look at the progress we've made in the last 20 years, not nearly enough, but this is a good way for us to start. And it also pairs with what we're trying to do with the Arkansas Philharmonic and meet the community, all of the community, where they are.
That was pianist Sarah Davis Buechner and APO music director Stephen Bias. They spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda last week. Sarah's residency begins July 16th. Tickets for the event, two of which are free, are available now. More information is available at rphil.org. That's ARPHIL.org. And this is Ozarks at Large.